My guest at this time is Jill Stanek. She is a former nurse who years ago confronted then-Illinois State Senator Barack Obama over his opposition to legislation that would require abortion providers to do everything possible to save the life of a baby if it survived an abortion attempt. She is now a writer and blogger. You can find her work at jillstanek.com and stanekreport.com. She is now teaming with the Christian Defense Coalition for a sit-in at the office of House Speaker John Boehner later this month over what they consider the unacceptable delay of House Republican leaders to move forward on the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which would ban almost all abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. And Jill, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, let's start by reminding people, because it's been a couple of months since this all went down, what is the legislation that was supposed to be passed and why didn't it get passed?
It's called the Unborn Child Pain Protection Act, and it is a ban on abortion past 20 weeks. And it is known that by 20 weeks and probably before, children feel pain. And when they are aborted at 20 weeks, they're literally drawn and quartered. They're just ripped apart limb by limb. So this ban would make it a federal offense to ban abortions past 20 weeks. It was like a shoo-in. Even Huffington Post in a poll showed that every demographic across America supports a late-term abortion ban like this. But at the last minute, and backing up, the Republican House leadership promised pro-lifers that they would vote on the ban on January 22nd, which is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion back in 1973. And it's also the day that hundreds of thousands of pro-lifers meet in Washington, D.C. for the annual March for Life. So this was a big deal. And inexplicably, inexcusably, the House leadership scuttled the bill, as you indicated, at the last minute, reneged on their promise to pro-lifers. And it has now been 2 months since, when we protest on March 25th, it will have been 2 months. And we've been more than patient, more than measured in our response, more than muted. And, I, among others, am just not going to stand for this anymore. And it goes back, Greg, to the introduction that you gave for me in the very beginning, going back to Barack Obama opposing a bill that would have stopped infanticide in Illinois. That started because I, as a nurse in Chicago at a hospital, held an abortion survivor for 45 minutes till he died, and he was 21 weeks old. And so an abortion ban such as this would save babies like I held. This is very real to me. You know, I have actually seen and held the babies that the House is just playing around with willy-nilly right now.
What happened, of course, is that there were a couple of lawmakers in particular, Renee Elmers of North Carolina and Jackie Walorski of Indiana, who did not like language suggesting that after 20 weeks there could be exception for rape victims, but they had to produce evidence that they reported the rape near the time that it happened. Others have said, obviously, that this is okay. Others have said, well, you've had 20 weeks to do it without evidence of a police report and so forth. What do you make of that hang-up in this legislation?
First of all, it was a hang-up that not even the Democrats thought of to complain about, and that there should have never been a rape incest exception to begin with. We're talking about 5 months along in pregnancy. And certainly by that time, you know, mothers should know that they're pregnant. And certainly even if they're conceived in rape or incest, are innocent victims too and shouldn't be put to death. But because of pressure, going back to the 2012 election season, when inarticulate comments were made by Republicans running for different congressional races and governor races, Republicans are skittish about the rape incest issue, and so they did add an exception. But they did add a qualifier that said if a woman is going for an abortion past 20 weeks and she is saying that she's been a victim of rape or incest, she has to provide a police report, which makes total sense. You know, abortions past 20 weeks are very dangerous for women anyway. The rate of mortality skyrockets, you know, when you hit that 20-week mark. So abortions, late-term abortions, aren't good for women to begin with. But taking out this reporting requirement would just give a huge loophole to abortionists to check that box every time a woman came in for a late-term abortion and say, yeah, she, you know, she's been raped. And also, for making women give a report their crime to the police protects other women from being victimized by these sexual perpetrators and protects the very women themselves against these perpetrators from violating them again. Because as you mentioned, some of these women are victims of incest and girls are victims of incest. And so if they don't have to report the crime, then the evidence is killed, it's covered up, literally killed when the abortion is committed. So a reporting requirement protects girls and women who have been victimized. So it makes total sense. And, you know, as I said, even the Democrats didn't even think to, you know, red flag the reporting requirement. Now they've been put on notice. Now they will. But these Republican women, as you mentioned, Elmers and Walorski, and I'm told even the co-sponsor, Marsha Blackburn, started balking at this reporting requirement. And nevertheless, the bill should have never been sidelined. They didn't even take a head count to see if, you know, they had the votes. They had the votes. At the last minute, the chief opponent, Renee Elmer, said she would vote for the bill, but they just chickened out. And they took advantage of the pro-life movement. They don't take us seriously. They don't respect us or fear us. And for all those reasons, I'm among a group that is going to Washington, D.C. on March 25th, and I'm going to protest at Boehner's office, and I encourage other people, other pro-lifers, to join us in our protest. It's going to be a sit-in. We're going to risk arrest. But this form of civil disobedience is nothing compared to what is happening to these children every day.
Jill, where can folks find more information about this? I know you've got your blog at jillstanek.com and your stanekreport.com site. Where else can they go? Should they go to one of those sites as we get closer to that date?
Yeah, they can go to one of those. They can go to jillstanek.com right now, and they can also go to the Jill Stanek Pro-Life Facebook page, and there's a link to that event on my Facebook page.
Last question for you before we let you go, Jill. I remember speaking that day right after the bill had been scrapped to one of the strongest pro-life voices in the House, Chris Smith of New Jersey, who was a strong supporter of the bill, and he was confident that it would be brought back and brought back relatively soon. Sounds like, based on this protest that you're about to launch, that is not the case. There's not a lot of movement on that. What reason are you being given for why this hasn't been rectified in relatively short order?
There have been no excuses, Meg Bragg, and they did promise to bring the bill up right away, and they haven't. And that is precisely the reason that after 2 months of waiting, we are going to go to Washington, D.C. and force them to address this.
We'll certainly be watching as you do. Once again, give the date and the time and the location.
It is March 25th in Washington, D.C. at 11 o'clock a.m., and it's going to be at Speaker Boehner's office, and would love to see pro-lifers come out and support. And if they don't want to risk arrest, that's fine. Just come out and prayerfully support the protest.
We'll certainly be watching. Jill, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Greg.
Jill Stanek, former nurse, confronted then State Senator Barack Obama over his opposition to legislation that would require abortion providers to do everything possible to save the life of a baby if it survived an abortion attempt. She is now the author of a blog, which you can find at jillstanek.com. You can also check out stanekreport.com. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.